Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from North or South, or from the East or West? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
Accustomed to this new system, I still have a slight cold. Anyway, it's August 10th, and we're in the dog days of August, although it's not that hot. The origin of that phrase is the ancient Romans believed that if you were bitten by a dog, and dogs were usually mad, I guess, at that time in August, because it was very hot in Italy, that if you burned the dog, you would be cured of your dog bite. Of course, the Romans were particularly cruel in their dealings with animals and their relationships with animals. They wiped out whole species. I think at one point there were 1,000 animals killed at the games in the Colosseum. Just horrible, horrible people. But anyway, we get the phrase the dog days of August because it was so hot. And of course, hair of the dog. This is when you're drunk and you have a hangover. You have another drink to cure the first hangover, and then you get a second hangover, and it really is quite illogical. Anyway, on this day today, Senator Estes Kefauver, who was the guy who popularized, brought back the coonskin hat. He was a tall, lanky fellow from Tennessee. He liked to go to the racetracks. I don't know if he ever went with J. Edgar Hoover, who also liked to go to the racetracks, but in 1950, he decided that he had presidential ambitions, and so he I think the Democrats controlled the Senate with Scott Lucas, who was majority leader from the state of Illinois. Anyway, excuse me, he decided that to go after the mafia, the Italian mafia, and so they started the United States Senate crime hearings, crime committee hearings, and they went to various cities around the United States. And the upshot of this whole thing was there was a lot of, we're going to play two clips from these hearings, but the whole idea was to expose the mob. And what they did was they got the mob more entrenched. There was arrogant confrontations, I think, with Frank Costello and the committee. And then a lot of these mobsters came to the West Coast, Las Vegas. We do have them in San Francisco. And the U.S. attorney in the John Gotti case, at the end of the case, I forgot his name, he said, this is the beginning of the end of the mafia and he mentioned New York, Chicago, and then he mentioned San Francisco. Of course, that didn't get published in our papers here, which like to censor and suppress so many things. But anyway, this is what he thought he would do. The keep over thought by holding his committees, exposing the mob, that he would get the Democratic presidential nomination. What he ended up getting in he got the nomination for vice president with Adlai Stevenson. And of course, he lost that election also. Adlai Stevenson was the Democratic governor of Illinois. I had met him many years ago. A lot of tragedy in his family. His father had been vice president of the United States, I think, under Grover Cleveland. Anyway, T. Farber had these committees, and this is when television was just coming out. I would recommend that you go to our latest YouTube edition, our whole series on KALW-FM. We have part two up there today, the Amicus Veritas YouTube, AMICUSVERITAS. And Jack Phillips, who's probably the dean of broadcast engineers, been around for 50 years. He's retired now. I interviewed him at his home. Great interview, great voice, very knowledgeable, very ethical. He talks about how TV started, and to get the technicians to work on TV, they had to get them from radio. It's quite interesting. But people would sit, those who could get TVs or had access to TVs, I vaguely remember as a child, I was very, very young, that you would watch the Senator Joseph McCarry U.S. Army hearings, or the Kefauver Crime Committee hearings. And we'll play a couple of clips from them. And one, we'll start with Kefauver. He'll explain his motives, if you can call him that. But here's a guy who liked to go to the racetracks, and here he's going after what he considered gambling, and which was supposedly controlled by the American Mafia. So let me get that Kefauver explaining his agenda.
The Kefauver Crime Committee meets the press in Washington. Organized crime does operate on a syndicated basis across state lines in the United States. That is a much bigger, more sinister, and a larger operation than we had ever suspected.
That's just a short
thing. The Kefauver Crime Committee meets the press in Washington. Organized crime.
Shut him off. Now, one of the interesting characters who was subpoenaed as a witness before Kefauver Crime Commission was a woman named Virginia Hill, who was considered a mobster's moll. And she had a kind of a wacky sense of humor. And she was testifying about her relationships or lack of relationships with some of the alleged mobsters. Here goes. And there's another mobster who testifies before the committee.
Did you get any money from Costello?
No.
And did you ever get any money from Meyer Lansky?
I never got money from any of those fellas.
None of those fellas.
None of these that I've been reading about, or none that I knew. They never gave me anything.
None of the Shetties?
No. I mean, I met that Charlie once or twice. I don't even talk to him.
You don't like him?
No.
I don't know what is the man was, because I didn't know the other man. I just know him.
The name that you, that is a refusal.
Mr. Chairman, this, in my judgment, this is a fantastic proceeding.
Yes, it is.
Here's the committee of the Senate meeting here, all members present. And here's this man who's recommended for us and resolved to go on the testimony. And the matter comes up of naming a man that approached him in the fort. I may have reason before we get voted, they know.
It's all right. You got reason. The,
it is a name, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, so now tell us all about the transaction.
That's all.
What did Nando have to do with these boys?
Nothing at all.
Hmm?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all?
The
What did he
just
say?
He's a doctor. He's just a doctor for them, but I think that that's very, very unfair to
yes,
them.
Yes, he put up $7,000 to help get them out, didn't he?
Oh, no.
Well, Mr. Chairman, since the matter's been brought out, I think it's only fair to say that...
I told you about it, that he called me and told me that these men were innocent. He's a victim of an honest mistake.
Yes.
So,
and who was the cause of which Nigro?
Dr. Nigro.
Does he have a brother, Joseph?
I don't know. I'm very close to him, but I don't know his relatives. He's got a lot of relatives.
Does he have a brother named Paul?
No.
Well, who are the brothers?
The only brother I know that he has is a contractor. I don't know his first name.
What do you mean by it? What are some guys, puppets, the government?
I couldn't answer you and justify myself or justify the committee without legal counsel, without aid of counsel.
Why don't you come through, please, and say, gentlemen, I have nothing to conceal, and as soon as you possibly be, answer any question you want to ask, I want to help you on your work here, instead of hiding behind a fence.
That's a wonderful speech.
Yes, it is a wonderful speech.
During the 50s, and then there was the Senator Joseph McCarthy, Roy Cohn, Robert Kennedy, and the United States Army, and Private David Schein. Quite interesting hearings. We don't see those today. Robert Kennedy got into it with Jimmy Hoffa at one point. And the upshot of these hearings was that there was a gambling scandal. In fact, that's what started some of these hearings. Point shaving in sports, some of the basketball teams at colleges were implicated. It's quite interesting. On this day, August 10th, also, it is the birthday of Herbert Clark Hoover, great engineer. I was just talking about engineer Jack Phillips. Hoover fed Europe. He organized the relief effort for Europe after World War One, and he was, I think, Secretary of Commerce in Calvin Coolidge and Harding's cabinet, and they thought he was the perfect man for the nomination, the Republican Party's nomination to be president. And apparently it is either too much for him or his methodology for dealing with the nation's problems, like we see the same conflict with Mr. Roe, didn't work. And maybe he didn't have the time, he needed more time, another term to do it, but the American people wouldn't wait. But anyway, I think he's the one who made the statement for Americans, and it's paraphrased, a chicken in every pot. And in those days, a chicken dinner was what people had on Sunday. It was like a delicacy. Today we have Tyson and Foster Farms, and used to be Holly Farms, and there's this bird from Texas. But the term chicken in every pot goes back to 15th century France, when they were locked in religious wars. And finally, to resolve the thing, a Protestant, the Huguenots were the Protestants, and of course they were the Catholics, that Henry of Navarre ascended the throne, and he wanted to bring the country together. And one of the ways he thought to do it was, I don't know the French phrase offhand, I did say French, but I've forgotten all of it. He told the people of France, a chicken in every pot. And, of course, we know about poulet. That's what the French term for chicken. Of course, their chickens are small. I noticed when I was in Europe, they weren't the size of these atomic chickens we have here in America. But that's where the term originally came from. Henry of Navarre, Henry the Fourth, I think the French Henry. Another day, another birthday today, Norma Shearer, famous actress during the 20s and 30s, another Canadian who came down here from Canada, joining people like Glenn Ford, Walter Houston, the father of John Houston, James Ireland, a lot of Canadians. One of my favorites, Victor Jory, who Ted Samuel knew at the Pasadena Playhouse, where Ted went after he got out of the Army in World War II. We'll be talking about Ted Samuel in the next chapter of KLWFM, the famous people who worked there and who kept that station going. Also today, Eddie Fisher, Oh My Papa, remember that song? He was born today. We have a few deaths. We have Robert Goddard, who was the father of American rocketry. Some people call him the American Von Braun. I don't know if you'd like that. And then we had, the other death, not birth, was Estes Kefauver, and we already talked about him, the senator with the coonskin hat from Tennessee. And then of the events today, Magellan, who the King of Spain sent out, and whom the Philippines was named after, King Philip. He started his circumnavigation of the world and ended up being eaten by cannibals in the Philippines by a guy named Lapu-Lapu, which is the name of a street here in San Francisco. And also there's another name for this, another street in the same area where there's a Asian Filipino senior citizen project funded by HUD for low-income and military veteran seniors. And the name of that street, Dimasalong, it means, it's a Tagalog word meaning bad luck, and that's just what they've had over there. We'll get into that another day. On this day also, Missouri became the 21st state. We had Nat Turner, who was a black slave. He had his rebellion, and I think he was captured, tried, and executed. And then we had, the transatlantic cable was finally completed, and former President Buchanan, this was in 1866, mind you, Buchanan was the predecessor of Abraham Lincoln. He was the 15th President of the United States. He communicated with Queen Victoria, who was the longest reigning female in history. She ranked with Catherine the Great of Russia, and I think there was one other one. Let's see, who else? Today we have, this is very important for Californians and actually for Americans. In 1893, after Congress passed the immigration, what they call reform, that was to shut down immigration from Asia, primarily Chinese. Chinese were deported from San Francisco. Now, I can't help that noise in the background. It's not an earthquake. It's not a rumble. It's somebody with their very, very loud motorcycle. Anyway, we have a Chinese ethnic Li. He's of the Chinese Li family. He decided he likes being mayor after all, after he repeatedly said he was an interim mayor, just filling the spot until a new mayor was elected. Well, apparently, as Lincoln used to say, he's got the bee in the bonnet. He's got political ambitions to be elected mayor in his own right. But the Chinese were horribly treated here in the United States, especially here in California, where they worked on the railroads. They were paid less. They had these long ponytails. People went around pulling them or trying to cut them off. They couldn't bring their wives here. A lot of horrible treatment that the Chinese endured and survived and prospered. And so we're seeing more and more Chinese go into American politics, especially here in California. And, of course, China is over 5,000 years old. They've been at it a lot longer than most other groups, the Filipinos, Indians from India. So, you know, they're very hardworking, and some people refer to them as the Jews of the Orient. Also today, we had, they decided to cut back the House of Lords in England, cut back their power. So they, in 1911, the House of Commons, which had more power, decided to cut more power away or take it away from the House of Lords. So the House of Lords is primarily ceremonial. They do hold trials of people that who are accused of high crimes, that sort of thing. We are going to end with politics and poker. I still have this bloody cold, and we'll be back Friday with the best of the week. We've got a lot more stuff coming, and just been kind of busy trying to put all this together. We're still digitalizing a lot of our audio interviews that we did for KALW and Western Public Radio and the Carson Brazil archives. So I recommend you go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and there'll be more videos up there. And we're aiming for a tighter focus. One of our fun ones is Cat and Canine Tales of the City. A lot of interesting videos of animals. Our public corruption will be up, and some more on the Steve Nery case. We just got a filing from the Ninth Circuit. It's quite interesting. It's cost the American taxpayer over $16 million in this case, and it's going to continue to go up as long as this sailor is illegally held in the California Department of Corrections prisons. So we'll end with politics and poker. There's a lot of politics, but very little poker. So here goes, and we'll be back Friday at 5 o'clock.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey,
Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? Riley the gun.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met 'em.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decision, decision, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fajicinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Folks, I'm going to quit a couple minutes early. I still have a sore throat and cold. And so we'll be back Friday. I hope to have my voice restored. Good night.